Adama patita jive dware dware giya Hare nama maha mantra deno bilaya
Adama patita jive dware dware giya Hare nama maha mantra deno bilaya
Adama patita jive dware dware giya Hare nama maha mantra deno bilaya
Adama patita jive dware dware giya Hare nama maha mantra deno bilaya
Holding straw between his teeth, he exclaims to each and every one, Please purchase me by chanting the names of Lord Gaura Hari.
Jare dekhe tare kohe dantatina dori amare kaniyalo bacho Gaura Hari.
Jare dekhe tare kohe dantatina dori amare kaniyalo bolo Gaura Hari.
Jare dekhe tare kohe dantatina dori amare kaniyalo bacho Gaura Hari.
Jare dekhe tare kohe dantatina Nine tori amare kiyalo bolo Gaura Hari
bacho Gaura Hari
bolo Gaura Hari.
Having said this, Nityananda Prabhu rolls about on the ground like a golden mountain trembling in the dust.
Eta bale Nityananda bhume ghare jaye sonara pavat jena dulate lataye
Eta bale Nityananda bhume ghare jaye sonara pavat jena dulate lataye
Eta bale Nityananda bhume ghare jaye sonara pavat jena dulate lataye
Eta bale Nityananda bhume
Lochan Das says, whoever does not develop affection for an avatar such as Lord Nityananda is a sinner who simply comes and goes in the cycle of repeated birth and death.
Heno avatar jai ratina janmilo Lochan bale seva pelo hagelo
Heno avatar jai ratina janmilo Lochan bale seva pelo hagelo
Heno avatar jai ratina janmilo Lochan bale se pape lo har gelo
eno avatare jarat nagiro lo chan bole se pape lo har gelo
akora paramananda nitananda rai Happy Manasuna Nithai Nagare Bedai
Akroda Pamananda Nityananda Rai Abhimana Siya Nithai Nagare Bedai
Akara Paramananda Nityananda Rai Happy Manasuna Nithai Nagare Bedai
Akroda Paramananda Nityananda Rai Abhimana Siya Nithai Nagare Bedai
Jaya Nithai Jaya Nithai Jaya Nithai Jaya Nithai
Jaya Nithai Jaya Nithai Jaya Nithai Jaya Nithai
Jaya nitanandaram jay nitanandaram jay nitanandaram jay nitanandaram jay nitanandaram nitanandaram jay nitanandaram jay nitanandaram
ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य जनञ्जनशलकय चक्षुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः मुखं करोति वत्सलं फण्गुम्लं जयति गिरिं यत्कृपतमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनधारिणो वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभिः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासिदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So it's very nice to have so many children. We want to ask that the children please stay quiet. And if they're not able to, understandable, there's speakers on the outside of the building. So you haven't become colorblind. Today was Seisha's day to give class. And I was asked to speak on his appearance day. So Seisha and I formulated a plan. And the plan was we were going to do a tag team. We were going to share back and forth this and that. But circumstances were otherwise, so I'm going to carry on as best I can. In the very beginning of my Krishna consciousness, I was actually very fortunate. My temple president in St. Louis was a devout follower of Lord Nityananda. There's no two ways about it. This was his fame. He was known for this. And he placed in the consciousness of the fledgling group of young devotees there this importance of and love for Lord Nityananda. Actually, we were known pretty much all over North America for trying to always be absorbed in Nittai Smarnam. Sometimes we were wrongly criticized that this emphasizing Lord Nityananda wasn't shastric, wasn't in line with our acharyas. But as we'll see today, so many of our acharyas have actually stressed the importance of Lord Nityananda. Now, had you asked me back then to give a class on Lord Nityananda, I would have thought, oh yeah, I'll share some of my realizations about Lord Nityananda. Let me speak. Now, however, I know that I have no knowledge of Lord Nityananda. I have no love for Lord Nityananda. And it's all just a shadow. I'm reminded actually of one song by Haridas that I want to read here. How shall I describe Lord Nityananda Chandra's glories? He is an ocean of compassion. Never has there been anyone like him. Never will there be anyone like him. To fools and blasphemers, Jagaya Madhai struck Lord Nityananda's forehead with a pottery fragment and made a river of blood to flow. Still, Lord Nitai extended his arms and hugged his two attackers. Lord Nitai freely gave away the rare treasure of Goloka, gave it even to the Chandalas. He did not consider the caste or family of anyone who received his gift. With his mouth he chanted, Hari, Hari! He danced and he danced. Flooding rivers of tears flowed from his eyes. He became like a wild man. He made the whole world wild in ecstasy of spiritual love. One moment he wept. The next moment he gently smiled and laughed. Lord Nittai became wild with the ecstasy of spiritual love. How can the poor fallen wretch, Haridas, understand and describe him? But I do know that by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, all things are possible. So therefore, before we begin, I'm going to ask all of you to please give me your blessings by giving a loud, resounding Jai Nittai that we can continue forth here. So do we get it? Very nice. Thank you. So who is Nityananda? How do we describe Nityananda? He has many, many names. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the great scholar, the great Vedantist turned bhakti follower in Puri, disciple and associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has given 12 prominent names of Lord Nityananda. Nityananda, one who embodies eternal bliss. Avaduta, the moon of the divine madman. Vasudha Prana Balabha, the beloved of the life breath of Vasudha. Janavi Jivati Pati, the eternal divine husband of Shrimati Janavadevi and the maintainer and sustainer of her life and soul. Krishna Prema Prada, he who bestows ecstatic love of Krishna. Prabhu, the Lord and Master of the devotees. Padmavati Sutta, the dear son of Padmavati. Shriman, he is splendorous in transcendental majesty. Sachinandana Purvaja, the older brother of Mother Sachi's son. Bhavanmata, he who is maddened in overwhelming ecstatic emotions. Jagat Tatra, the savior of the universe. And Raktagora Kalevara, he whose complexion is golden tinged with the hue of red. So these are descriptions that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Now, taking leave as a parent, I'm going to do something here. I came across a paper hidden away in a desk drawer written by my youngest daughter when she was, oh, I don't know, probably 8 or 9, something like that. What's that called when you take a word and then come out with meanings for each of those letters? There's a name for that. Huh? No, not an acronym. Anagram, thank you, yeah. So, Lord Nityananda, L, loves to eat, which we'll see. O, one great expansion of Balaram. R, Ram's brother's expansion. D, a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. N, naughty, which we'll also see. I, is very beautiful. T, too forgiving. Now, my wife and I ponder this. How could Lord Nityananda be too forgiving? But we'll see in some of the descriptions we'll hear today, he was extremely forgiving. Why? You get mercy from serving him. Who wants mercy? Now, I'm shocked. I expected every hand in the place to reach to the ceiling. A, always compassionate. N, naive when he was a child. I wasn't sure about that one. A, avaduta. N, no one could love blue as much as him. He always wore blue dhoti. D, devoted to Lord Chaitanya. And A, always wonderful. So Nityananda has charmed the heart with his multiple names and descriptions of this young child in the same way all these young children up here earlier this morning were charmed in glorifying Lord Nityananda. You could see it in their faces. They were so happy. Was it that they were happy to be performing in front of a bunch of people? No. They were happy because they knew they were glorifying Lord Nityananda. And that glorification of Lord Nityananda brings great satisfaction, great happiness. So we should all have the expectation, actually we should not only expect, we should want that when we're finished sitting here, however long that may be, that we will be very happy because we have heard about the pastimes of Lord Nityananda. That we'll be very satisfied, very blissful. So this is one of the things that we can expect from discussing the pastimes of Nittai. Now, as far as Lord Nityananda goes, we have two aspects. We have his tattva, and we have his lila. I propose that the truth and the pastimes are actually one and the same. Now, as we heard from Dhruva Maharaj the other morning on the appearance day of Advaita Acharya, he spoke about the chapter in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives dedicated to Advaita Acharya. Actually, he goes through and dedicates different chapters according to the five tattva, the five truths, Lord Chaitanya and five features, as was described on another class. Excuse me. So I want to read some prayers, most of which are from that chapter, giving us a little idea here. This is a very favorite verse. Someone chanted in my ear during the morning kirtan. Nityananda maham nomi savanam nakaraparam harinam apadadevam avaduta siromanim. I bow down to the Supreme Lord Nityananda, who is the awarder of the highest joy to all, the bestower of the holy name, and the crest jewel of the Paramahamsa mendicants. The first chapter of Adi Lila, verse 7. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarshan, Seshanaga, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karna ocean, Mahavishnu, Garbha ocean, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, and ocean of milk, Shiradakshai Vishnu, are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. I surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, who is known as Sankarshan in the midst of the Chaturvyuha, consisting of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. He possesses full opulences and resides in Vaikuntha, far beyond the material creation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose partial representation, called Karnadakshai Vishnu, lying on the Karna ocean, is the original Purusha, the master of the illusory energy and the shelter of all the universes. I thought this was particularly interesting because who of us is not impacted, as this song said, by the illusory energy? You know, sometimes our mind becomes a little bewildered, our intelligence becomes lost. So here, the master of the illusory energy is Lord Nityananda. So by taking shelter of Lord Nityananda, by hearing and chanting about Lord Nityananda, by calling on the name of Lord Nityananda, we can get refuge. And it says here, he's the shelter of all the universes. So in this way, we can become very satisfied. I offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, a partial part of whom is Garbhadakshai Vishnu. From the navel of Garbhadakshai Vishnu sprouts the lotus that is the birthplace of Brahma, the engineer of the universe. The stem of that lotus is the resting place of the multitude of planets. If you think about this verse, it's just amazing the qualities, the potency, the character of Lord Nityananda. We're completely strained to comprehend that Garbhadakshai Vishnu lays on the ocean and bubbles are coming out, and from his stem, from his navel rather, sprouts a lotus flower. And on the end of that lotus flower, sitting on the petals there, is Lord Brahma. And inside the stem of that lotus flower is the 14 planetary systems. As difficult as it is for us to comprehend that, that's just a partial part of an expansion of a portion of Lord Nityananda. We can really appreciate his unlimited qualities. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose secondary part is the Vishnu lying in the ocean of milk. That Shiradakshayi Vishnu is the supersoul of all living entities and the maintainer of all universes. Seshanaga is his further subpart. From this verse, we can see how later in these pastimes, Lord Nityananda understood so much about the heart of the living entity. A, about the heart of the living entity suffering in this Kali Yuga, about their horrible condition, about how to deliver them and how important it is to prevent their suffering, and B, how he manipulated activities to fulfill his pastimes by understanding the heart of the living entities. So in this way, these verses are talking about the plenary portions, but we can see how they directly relate to the pastimes of Lord Nityananda. So these are the verses that are the truth about Lord Nityananda, and they indicate the activities that take place in his pastime, in his leelas. So Krishnadas Kaviraj also writes here, and I'll conclude with this from this part. Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaudadaye Pushpavanto Chitra Sandu Tamondo. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. It's a very rare occasion. Sometimes astrologically, everything's in place and you see the sun and the moon in the sky at the same time. Not a common thing. Now, sometimes you see the moon, it's a little bitty, shadow kind of over there, or maybe just a little, like on your computer, you get a shadow icon. It's not really there. It's just kind of a resemblance. But once in a while, they're both in the sky at the same time, and they're full potency. And it's an amazing sight. In the same way, once in a while, these two great personalities appear at the same time. And in so doing, bring unlimited benediction on the conditioned living entities of this material world. This is the real goal of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. To appear in this world, to deliver us from our suffering condition, and by appearing at the same time, to bring unlimited mercy and benedictions to us. Now, of course, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in great detail the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. But before doing this, he received the unlimited mercy of Lord Nityananda. This is actually the mood of Lord Nityananda, to bring each of us to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, to bring us to a position where we can get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. What is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? To take up the holy name. Actually, Krishnadas Kaviraj, just a little explanation here. His family was not so inclined towards Lord Nityananda. They had great faith in Lord Chaitanya, but little faith or none in Lord Nityananda. And he had an all-night kirtan program. We have all these all-night kirtan programs, you know. This has been going on forever and ever. So Krishnadas Kaviraj organized an all-night kirtan program. Whether they had a lockdown or not, I don't know. But he arranged for devotees to come. And one of the devotees who came was Maniketam Ramdas. Maniketam Ramdas was one of the 12 Gopal associates of Lord Nityananda. And like Lord Nityananda, he was a bit of an avaduta. He had amazing cowherd boy dress, complete with ankle bells and flute. And he would play his flute at different times in the kirtans. And when the kirtans got really ecstatic and he became overwhelmed in love, he would do interesting things. He would go over to another devotee and bang him in the head with his flute. And that devotee felt greatly benedicted. Hey, who are you hitting? No, I've been touched by the flute of Maniketam Ramdas. And then sometimes he would climb up on the back of another devotee in kirtan and cry out the name of Tai from his shoulders. Interesting pastimes. Now, some of the family members and the priest, I believe the priest's name was Gunarnava Mishra. The family priest, some of the family members of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami were a little put off by this. So they started to have some words. And they ended up having an argument with Maniketam Ramdas. And Maniketam Ramdas became greatly, I won't use the word offended, but put off, shall we say. He broke his flute and left the assembly. Pretty bold thing. I mean, you can imagine Kishore is here in kirtan and he gets annoyed at somebody, breaks his flute and leaves. Wow! You know, so what to speak of Maniketam Ramdas? This was his cherished. And he's such an intimate, and broke the flute and left. So then, some words exchanged between the family members, as you can imagine. That night, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami went to bed unsatisfied. And in a dream, Lord Nityananda appeared to him. And in this dream, the description that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives is most amazing. He describes how Nityananda was wearing this blue, beautifully effulgent blue silk dhoti and chadar, and so wonderful. And he had on this incredibly just beautiful and fragrant garland that was so wonderful that the bumblebees were all gathered around it and trying to get the fragrance from it. And on one side of him was a devotee with the chamra, and on the other side was a devotee with the peacock fan, and they were fanning him. And there were devotees surrounding him in kirtan pose with mridangas and kartals, and he had these incredible ankle bells on, and they were chiming as he would dance very delicately to and fro and to and fro. And in his mouth was the most eloquent of betel, and it gave a reddish hue to his beautiful white complexion. This is how he appeared. And he said to Krishnadas Kaviraj, "Wake up! Wake up!" Now, of course, this is not the kind of dream you want to wake up from. You know, we've all had those dreams where you dream about Krishna or something, you know, "Oh, and I woke up at the best part." You know, the alarm clock went off or something like that. So Nityananda's appeared to you in this incredible form, and you don't want to wake up. But he's saying to Krishnadas Kaviraj, "Wake up! Wake up, go to Vrindavan, and all great fortune will come to you." So Krishnadas Kaviraj did just that. He got up next morning, packed up his little bag, and out the door, and went to Vrindavan. And what happened in Vrindavan? In Vrindavan, he received the mercy of all the devotees. He received the mercy of the prominent deities of Vrindavan for the purpose of writing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Nityananda gave the mercy that allowed him to come to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. This is our understanding of our relationship with Lord Nityananda, that he removes all these things that are obstacles. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's family was an obstacle. The bad attitude of his relatives towards Lord Nityananda was an obstacle. The feeling of one over the other between Gaur and Tai was an obstacle. So Lord Nityananda removed all these things and allowed him to go to Vrindavan, where he received all the blessings. So Nityananda will do the same for us if we take shelter of him. He will remove those things that are obstacles in our path, devotional service. Now, this mood of Lord Nityananda is very nicely described in this song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Madhurya Eharinam. This holy name is so sweet. So he writes the following. Sri Sri Gaur Nitai are so wonderfully merciful. They've brought this Harinam from Goloka Vrindavan. It doesn't belong to the material world. Sri Sri Gaur Nitai brought it here because they are wonderfully merciful. Who is the custodian of Namhatta? Sri Nitai. Namhatta means the marketplace. A marketplace where the holy name is sold and purchased. And what is that price? The price is unflinching faith. He who has strong faith, unflinching faith in the holy name, and faith in the words of Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, and Krishna, only he can purchase the holy name. The marketplace is always eternally open. Sri Nitai is more merciful than Sriman Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Sri Gaurasunda is wonderfully merciful. Sri Nitai is more merciful than Sri Gaurasunda. Sri Nitai is so merciful. He saw that the jivas have been suffering here, drowning in this ocean of materialistic existence from time immemorial. His heart bleeds at this thought. So Sri Nitai felt love, affection, and compassion for these souls. He became symptomatic for the fallen, suffering souls. So he brought them the holy name from Sri Brajabhumi to those Kali Yuga people. Excuse me. Lord Shiva, with his five faces, is chanting this Madhurya Iharinam. This is also so sweet, this Harinam. Lord Brahma chants the Srinam with his four faces because it is so sweet. Sri Narada Muni sings this Harinam with his stringed instruments. All of them are chanting because it is so sweet. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, by only obtaining the Namba stage, offenseless chanting, Ajamil, a greatly sinful person, was delivered. All his sinful reactions were destroyed. Then at last he went to Vaikuntha. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur concludes saying, just chant this holy name, utter this holy name, and go to Sri Brajabhumi. So this is the gift of Lord Nityananda. As my daughter wrote, he's too merciful. More merciful than Lord Chaitanya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it three times, more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. We generally see that Lord Chaitanya, he delivered the Rupa and Sanatans, the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharyas, the Ramananda Roys, the eloquent, elevated members of society. And Lord Nityananda, he delivered the Jagaya Madais. All those less than qualified personalities, all of us. We're all the Jagaya Madais of this world, particularly of this age of Kali Yuga. So Nityananda is our savior. We have to take shelter of him if we want to be delivered to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. We have to get his mercy. Now, according to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he appears externally as the spiritual master. The spiritual master is there to bring us to the lotus feet of the Lord. This is the external manifestation because we do not see Lord Nityananda's presence before us. I mean, if we're standing here, we see him here. However we view Lord Nityananda with whatever particular tinge of material vision we have. But the spiritual master manifests in our life for the purpose of delivering the message of Lord Nityananda. For delivering the message that will free us from the contamination, from the disturbances, from the ruination of Kali Yuga. Spiritual master delivers us to Nityananda, Nityananda delivers us to Gaur, and Gaur gives us the holy name of Sri Krishna. It's a very wonderful process. Now, why does Lord Nityananda take this role? Actually, if we want to understand this, we have to go all the way back to Treta Yuga. In Treta Yuga, Lord Ramchandra appeared. We know Lord Ramchandra had a younger brother. His name was Lakshman. And Lakshman had to tolerate a lot of things he didn't want to tolerate. There's many instances noted in the Ramayana where Lakshman wanted to act boldly, to take a strong stance and protect Ram, to chastise someone who had spoken against Ram, to undo the wrongs that had been done against Ram. Ramchandra stopped him. He had a purpose in that particular incarnation, and that mood of, oh, you're not going to do it, was not what he was looking for. So Lakshman had to bite his tongue, so to speak, to keep his arrows sheathed, quivered, thank you, to keep his arrows quivered, to keep his bow quiet. He simply was anxious to hear the twanging of his bow. But I'm trying to stop him. No, just slow down. Take it easy. Don't worry. Lakshman said, never again. Never again. In the next incarnation, he came as Balaram and took the senior role. A little bit older than Krishna. And in those pastimes, he exerted himself a bit. He was out there in the front. He had his own group of cowherd boys. He would kill some of the demons on his own. He saw a demon, he thought he needed killing, he'd just kill him. You know, he didn't have to, oh, Krishna, is it all right? No, they got rid of the demons, you know. So many, Krishna book is filled with the unlimited pastimes of Lord Balaram killing so many different demons and, you know, like that. And had his own rasa dance. And so all these things, he began to exert himself a bit. No more the junior position. And then in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, he appears 12 years earlier than Lord Chaitanya. He appears with the senior associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's entourage. Now, as we know, the Lord never goes anywhere alone. We don't see that he just manifests by himself. He always has all of his associates and all of his entourage. And they always come in various roles, some senior, some junior, some equal. And they appear according to that role. So many of his associates appeared before him. Advaitacharya, Madhavendra Puri, Ishvara Puri, like this. These were some of the senior associates. And Lord Nityananda appeared with that group of devotees. He appeared with that group of devotees. So in one sense, he was the senior to Lord Chaitanya. And this is actually very interesting. Although he was the senior, he took the part of bringing people to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this was all part of his plan. Now, we understand that as the senior, for instance, Advaitacharya, he was very senior, and Lord Chaitanya always respected him, gave him great respect. And Advaitacharya didn't like it at all. To the point, we all know the story, he taught Mayavadi philosophy, and Lord Chaitanya came beating with a stick, and he was very, very happy. You know. So Nityananda was very happy to serve Lord Chaitanya, because he knew that by bringing the conditioned souls to Lord Chaitanya, they would actually benefit. So he would, as we mentioned, give the mercy to those that couldn't get the mercy from Lord Chaitanya, that didn't get the mercy from Lord Chaitanya, and then bring them, even though he was the senior, to the lotus feet. And in this way, he showed an amazing example of humility. Children, please. Thank you. So he showed an amazing example of humility by bringing, although the senior, people to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Now, there's that wonderful song we all know, Marketplace of the Holy Name. Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan Katayache Namhakta Jima. We could break in a song right now. At any rate, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives a very interesting purport to that second verse of that song. Shadha Janahe Shadha Janahe Prabhura Anjai Bhai Maga E Bhiksha Bolo Krishna Bhaja Krishna Koro Krishna Shiksha. Translation. O people of faith, O people of faith, not just anybody, but those of you with faith. That's all of us sitting here. Why are we sitting here? Because we have a bit of faith in Nityananda. By the order of Lord Gauranga, O brothers, I beg these three requests of you. This is Lord Nityananda speaking. I beg these three requests of you. So who wants to know what Lord Nityananda begs of you? We have three requests he's begging. Worship Krishna. Chant Krishna and teach Krishna to others. This is what Lord Nityananda is begging of us. You got a baby about to rip up. Anybody want? Anybody want? So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives a nice, we wanted to come up close and hear better, gives a nice purport to this. He says, the Mahasaya is referring to Nityananda, the Mahasaya is on patrol. When the police are on patrol, or sometimes like over in Afghanistan and, you know, Iraq, where they get these warriors to go out on patrol, they're looking for the enemy, and they're going to engage them. The Mahasaya is on patrol, and he plays his kartals and calls out, oh, people of faith, I do not wish to beg from you any worldly thing or any mundane favor. The only alms I beg is that you honor the order of the Lord by chanting the names of Krishna, by worshiping Krishna, and by teaching Krishna to others. Just invoke the true name of Krishna, specifically by giving up Nambas, a hint of the name due to offenses. Please chant the spiritual pure name, Chinmayi. These are the two kinds of Nambas. No, I'm sorry, there are two kinds of Nambas. Chaya Nambas, the shadow of the name, and Pratimba Nambas, a reflection of the name. The Chaya Nambas naturally becomes the pure holy name that bestows all divine perfections, but in a gradual manner. This is because, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is explaining, this is because even though one may be situated in the darkness of ignorance, one is still not distracted from desires for bhoga, material sense enjoyment, and moksha, impersonal liberation, which are both unfavorable for executing devotional service. Unfavorable. If we have desire for material sense gratification, don't expect to be able to render devotional service. When devotees who are not knowledgeable in spiritual truth, first of all, persist in trying to chant this kind of nambas in the company of sadhus, by the power of that association, they become learned in the mellows of nam ras and thus become capable of singing the sudhanam, the purely transcendental holy name of the Lord. Those devotees are also very fortunate. By the association of sadhus, all of you, by the association of sadhus, we can gain a taste for chanting properly. For those who attempt chanting the holy name while still desirous of enjoying the fruits of either material endeavors or impersonal liberation, the holy name appears to them as the mere reflection known as Pratimba Nambas. Pratimbimba. Such persons, someone knows this, such persons easily receive their insignificant cherished boons from the Lord's name, but they are unable to attain the Sudha Nam Chintamani, the touchstone of the pure holy name. This is because they are incapable of totally renouncing their desires for things opposed to the execution of pure devotional service, specifically the things related to bhoga and moksha. In special circumstances, according to the arising of good fortune, one may reject desires for bhoga and moksha by the mercy of a devotee or the Lord directly, thus becoming of non-duplicitous heart, and in this way take full shelter of the pure holy name. But that is very rare. Continues on. O people of faith, to give up Nam Bas and sing the Sudha Nam is verily the only true welfare for the jivas. Please worship Lord Krishna by chanting and chanting Krishna Nam. Perform bhajan by engaging in shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, sevanam, archanam, bandhanam, dasya, sakyam, and atmanivedanam. Execute that bhajan either on the path of Vaidhi Bhakti or Vaidhi Marga or Raga Marga, according to your specific adhikar. If your ruchi is for the Vaidhi Marga, then accept appropriate instructions for the worship at the feet of Sri Guru. And upon the annihilation of all your anarthas that beset the jiva, please observe the person of Sri Krishna. Or, if you have transcendental greed, lobha, for traversing the ragmarg, then emulate the love and character of an eternal Brajbasi, or Brajavasini, and according to that befitting ruchi, just engage in the worship of the mellows of Braj. Being absorbed in that Braj Ras Bhajan, obtaining the mercy of a guru who is appropriately qualified in that transcendental realm, one thus attains eternal residence in Braj by awakening their own spiritual form, Chinmaya Sarupa. And in that form, they will achieve the ultimate beatitude of rendering service to Sri Krishna. Very lofty stuff. But this is the purpose that Lord Nityananda has come, to give us the opportunity to enter into the holy name in this manner, not just to falsely or, you know, vaguely or half-heartedly just chant, but to enter into this deeper understanding of what the holy name will bring us. This is Lord Nityananda's mission. This is the purpose of him opening the marketplace of the holy name to freely give it. And then according to our qualification, adhikari, according to that qualification, to be able to enter into one of these moods. And today we're going to hear some amazing pastimes. Some of these activities, some that we've even read already, are going to be difficult to believe, difficult to understand, maybe even difficult to accept. But as we hear these pastimes of Lord Nityananda, let us take to heart these words of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami as he finishes the last volume of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If one becomes a servant of the servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda and is favored by them, then he can believe in all these discourses. So let us spend our day engaged in the service of the servants of Lord Chaitanya, and then all these past Sri Nityananda Prabhu's face is more beautiful and cooling than the autumn moon. The effulgence coming out from his body is supremely beautiful. He always moves like a maddened elephant, since he is always intoxicated with Krishna Prema. He is always mad after Krishna Prema. His body is completely pure spiritual energy. He always has a smiling face. His eyes are very fickle, moving to and fro. His lotus hands always hold the glowing staff. Yes, that is Sri Nityananda, who by the beating of that staff destroys all the reactions of Kali Yuga. We should take shelter of Sri Nityananda and cry for the mercy of Nityananda. He is the root of Krishna Prema Bhakti Kalpa Taru, the root of the tree of loving devotion unto Krishna. I perform my bhajan of Lord Nityananda, the very root of the Krishna Bhakti Vriksha. Verse 2. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the reservoir of all transcendental mellows. He is the life and soul of all the devotees. No one can compare to him with all within all the three planetary systems. He is very dear to one and all. He is the beloved husband of Sri Vasudha and Janava. He is always in an ecstatic mood of love, always maddened and intoxicated with that mellow of love, Krishna Prema. He is unknown to crooked and evil-minded persons. I perform my bhajan of Lord Nityananda, the very root of the Krishna Bhakti Riksha. Text 3. Lord Nityananda is very dear to Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He always does good to the whole universe. He is always supremely blissful. He is the embodiment of supreme happiness and blissfulness. He comes to this material world in this Kali Yuga to deliver the sinful persons. There is no limit to his mercy. He constantly does Nam Sankirtan, destroying the pride of this dreadful ocean of material existence. I perform my worship of Lord Nityananda, the very root of the Krishna Bhakti Riksha. Text number 4. Lord Nityananda tells Gauranga Mahaprabhu, "Oh, brother, what will happen to those most distressed and fallen jivas in the Kali Yuga? What will happen to them unless you shower your mercy upon them? Please show them a way for their deliverance by which they can approach your lotus feet." He always talks to Mahaprabhu in this way. I perform my worship of Lord Nityananda, the very root of the Krishna Bhakti Riksha. Text 5. Lord Nityananda goes to every doorstep and requests everyone with folded hands, "Oh, my dear brothers, all of you engage yourselves in the chanting of Harinam. If you do this and follow my instructions, I promise that you will very easily cross over this dreadful ocean of material existence." I do my worship. I perform my worship of Lord Nityananda, the very root of the Krishna Bhakti Riksha. This is twice now. The material ocean has been referred to as dreadful. Text number 6. Like Agastya Muni, who by drinking a handful of water made all the oceans dry up, he forcibly swallows the ocean of repeated birth and death. He arose like a moon to swell up the ocean of mercy for the welfare of the jivas. He very easily destroys the sinful reactions of the most sinful degraded persons. He is very dear to the devotees. He is always busy doing good to the devotees. He is like the sun that dispels the darkness of the ignorant fools which descended by their sinful activities. I perform my worship of Lord Nityananda, the very root of the Krishna Bhakti Riksha. Text 7. He is always dancing and chanting, "Haribo, Haribo," uttering the name of Hari. He always engages in Harinam Sankirtan. He always wanders on the streets of every city, town, and village, casting his merciful glance over his dear devotees. I perform my worship of Lord Nityananda, the very root of the Krishna Bhakti Riksha. He moves with Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, holding his very soft lotus-like palm. He always looks at the moon-like face of Lord Gaurachandra and becomes ecstatic and blissful upon seeing that face. Gauranga Mahaprabhu also looks at the moon-like face of the beautiful Nitai. In this way, the two of them are completely filled with blissfulness. He always makes all the inhabitants of the towns and cities wherever he goes mad with the intoxication of his beauty. I perform my worship of Lord Nityananda, the very root of the Krishna Bhakti Riksha. Text 9. Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur says, "Whoever reads, recites, or hears with firm faith this Sri Nityanandastakam will have the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu soon revealed to him. These 8 verses are the essence of Bhakti Rasa. They are the life and soul of the Rasika Bhaktas and the reservoir of all mellows. Lord Nityananda is the essence of the universe, the three planetary systems, and by his remembrance, the sinful reactions of all sinful persons are destroyed." So as we've been hearing little bits and pieces over the last few days here, we know that Sri Nityananda Prabhu took his birth in the village of Ekachakra, which is in a part of Bengal called Radhadesh. Radhadesh refers to a section of the Bengal area where the Ganges is not visible. So in this place, he took his birth to Hadai Pandit and Padmavati Mata. Very, very nice, wonderful devotees. And after some difficult time, they gave conceived, and eventually Mother Padmavati gave birth to this wonderful, wonderful boy, Itai. And he was the complete enchantment of all the residents of the village. It was their life and soul. I mean, you can imagine from everything we've read just how dear he was as a child, because everyone likes the kids. The kids get up and they're so sweet and they're so charming and everyone is so enamored by them, and just multiply that a gazillion times for Lord Nityananda. And his childhood pastimes, very, very amazing. He would organize all of his children, I mean all of his playmates, in nothing. Nothing but the pastimes of Krishna and Ram and all the different incarnations. He would arrange all of the performances, and the children would spend the entire day with him. One day he would arrange all of the boys to divide into different groups. This group would be the cops, and this group would be the robbers, and this group would be the cowherd boys, and they would play the pastimes of the cows being stolen and saved. And then in another time, he would arrange for a big leaf-built agasura. And all the boys would be the cowherd boys and go marching into Agasura, and then he would go into the Agasura and burst it open like this, you know. And then in another instance, they would arrange for just unlimited pastimes. His favorite was the pastimes of Ramchandra. One time he organized all the boys and instructed different parts. You'll be this, you'll be this, you'll be this, you'll be them. You'll do this, you'll do that, like that. So they enacted the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. And the battle was going, and Sita had been captured. And they were fighting all the weapons and everything going on. And the devotee who was playing the part of Satyajit. No, that Indrajit. And came and struck Lord Nityananda with this weapon, this powerful Shakti weapon. And Nityananda fell into a trance in the mood of Lakshman. He was playing the part of Lakshman. And he fell into that trance. He was completely out. And the kid's like, oh, this is, okay, let's get him, go to the next thing. Nityananda! Nityananda was completely absorbed in this mood. He was so deep in this pastime that he wasn't coming back. And all the parents heard that Nityananda's going, he's fainted, he's not conscious, and they came running, and Mother Padmavati came, and she's crying over the body of Nityananda, and Hadai Pandit's trying to, how will my life go on, my son, what has happened to him, how can we save him? And all the other parents of the children, they're coming, oh, no, let this be my child, let Nitai live, but let my child go, oh, how can the village continue with this? On and on and on, completely bereft like this. In the meantime, the child who was playing the part of Hanuman happened to remember, oh, wait, this is the path. Oh, yeah, I got to go get the mountain of herbs. So he came back. He went and got, you know, some branch of a tree or whatever, and came back and put the herbs, gave them to the devotee playing the part of Sugriva. And then Sugriva administered the healing herbs to Nityananda, the mood of Lakshman, and Nityananda sat straight up. All the people were amazed. The parents, they said, how do you know so many pastimes of the Lord? How is this possible? Nityananda smiled and said, these are all my own sweet pastimes. So in this way, all of his childhood playmates, they knew nothing. And he was extremely strong. There were two trees the children liked to play with. They were near each other. And they liked to play with these trees. But they were a little separated. And so it was a little hard to jump from one to the other. So Nityananda pushed them together. The kids could jump back and forth easily like that. So in this way, he enacted his childhood pastimes. Now, Hadai Pandit and Padmavati were very, very wonderful Brahmins, and they would receive traveling sadhus, as was the custom at that time. And one traveling sadhu was traveling about and spent some days with them. Not exactly how long, it's not real clear. Some period of time he stayed with them. As he was going to leave, Hadai Pandit had nicely served him. Mother Padmavati had cooked for him. They had taken good care of him, and said to Hadai Pandit, he said, you are an exalted Brahmana. I have one request from you. Well, Hadai Pandit said, yes. He said, you are a sadhu, a mendicant. It is my duty as a householder to serve you. Whatever you want, you ask of me. But you should know I'm a very poor man. I don't have very much. And the sannyasi said, oh, but you have one thing I can use. Yes, you should just ask. I'm traveling by myself. It's difficult. if I had one brahmachari servant, someone to assist me, my life would be easy. So please, you give me your son Nityananda. Vrindavan Das Thakur describes it was as if a thunderbolt had entered into the heart of Hadai Pandit. My son, Nityananda. He was immediately torn because he knew the history. Great sages, great kings, great rulers all throughout history had gained unlimited fame by keeping their word. We're studying in the Bhagavatam class, we're studying these activities of Bali and Vamana. This is all based upon his keeping his word. So he went to his wife, Padmavati. The husband always goes to the dear wife for good instruction, right? Isn't this the way it works? All of you wives, isn't that what we do? Yes, yes. My dear, what should I do? What should I do? Padmavati said, my dear husband, as you decide, I will support you. You know what is best. Pretty good. So, just remember, it was your decision. No. So, Hadai Pandit said, how can I not do this? All right. So he went back to the sannyasi, who, by the way, his name was Lakshmipati Tirtha. Some question about that. It's Vrindavan Das Thakur makes it clear. Lakshmipati Tirtha. So, and he said to him, yes. He said, I will gladly give you my son, Lord Nityananda, to travel with you. I mean, you can imagine his heart was breaking. So Lord Nityananda very joyfully packed his little bag on his shoulder. They went off. Hadai Pandit ran to the edge of the homestead and he looked and he watched down the road. He walked out into the middle of the road and he watched as Hadai Pandit's life, his very soul, his son Nityananda, Mother Padmavati stood at the gate of the property crying profuse tears. Hadai Pandit couldn't bear and he watched in the horizon as Lakshmipati Tirtha and his son Nitai departed. And as they crossed the horizon and he could see them no more, he fell to the ground crying and completely fainted. All of the villagers, they heard what was happening. They came running. They said, no, 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 wait, take my son, take my son. Let Nitai stay. Take my son. No, no, take my son. They were all trying to... And Lakshmipati Tirtha was gone. It mentions that Hadai Pandit was so burdened by the pain of separation from his son Nitai that very shortly after that he left this world. He could not bear the separation. The village of Ekachakra became like nobody had any joy in their hearts anymore. So in this way, Nitai traveled throughout all the holy places for 8 years. At some point, he separated from Lakshmipati Tirtha and he continued traveling. It mentions in the Nityananda Charitamrita all the different holy places he traveled to. Every holy place, like our Padayatra did all over India and all like that, did the same thing. Went here, went there, South India, all the way down, over to Dwarka, over to here, up to Puri, back around, all these different places. There's a very, very wonderful chapter in the Nityananda Charitamrita about his meeting with Lord Jagannath. Very sweet, very sweet. We had to cut something out. It's already 19. So,
how old was he when he died?
12 years old. 12 years old. So, eventually, he came to Vrindavan. And near Govardhan somewhere, he happened to come across Madhavendra Puri and his sannyasi associates who were traveling. The description in Vrindavan Das Thakur's Nityananda Charitamrita of the meeting of Madhavendra Puri and Lord Nityananda is just amazing. The symptoms of ecstasy that manifested in both of them when they saw each other, saw the sight of each other, and ran and they embraced each other and tears profusely poured from their eyes. They couldn't believe their good fortune upon seeing each other. They fell to the ground rolling in ecstasy upon the satisfaction of seeing each other. And it describes that they spent a large amount of time glorifying each other. Lord Nityananda said, now all of my benefit of traveling to all the holy places has borne fruit by seeing your lotus feet. Now my life is successful. I have never seen such presence of prema bhakti as I'm seeing in you. Now, of course, as was mentioned, that Madhava Nipura is responsible for bringing this mood of Madhurya Rasa into our line. So, of course, this was all present in his body like this. And the sannyasi associates of Madhava Nipura were quite astounded at the amazing ecstatic symptoms that were manifesting between these two as they met. So then they sat and they talked and spent some time together, took prasadam and discussed Krishna Leela and went to the different holy places. You can just imagine them going around Govardhan and to the Braj Leela places and discussing all. Oh, they're wonderful like this, so ecstatic. So in this way, he actually accepted Madhavendrapuri as his spiritual mother. He had actually taken initiation from Lakshmipati Tirtha, and accepted Madhavendrapuri as his Shiksha Guru. So here again, this solidifies his position of seniority to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the chronological view of things, and the amazing character that it shows of him taking that position of humility and bringing people to Lord Chaitanya. While he was living in Mathura, after all of his travels, he finished and went back to Mathura and he resided there. While he was staying in Mathura, he came to understand, came to know, came to hear about, whichever, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had made his appearance in Navadvipa. And so he began his travels to Bengal. Interesting pastime. My wife reminded me of this yesterday. I'd forgotten about this, but when he arrived in Bengal, he stayed at the house of Nandanacharya. He didn't just immediately arrive in Navadvipa and find Mahaprabhu. Hey, I'm here. Hi, Bo. Hi, good to see you. Hi, Bo. You know, he went to the house of Nandanacharya and kind of stayed behind the scenes a bit, just quietly. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I marked this to read from Vrindavan Das Thakur's presentation because it's so nice. This is chapter one of the Madhya Leela, Nityananda Charitamrita. Aware of Lord Nityananda's arrival in Navadvipa, Sri Vishwambar became extremely happy within his heart. The Lord had, on some pretext or another, already disclosed the arrival of Nityananda to the Vaishnavas, but none of them could understand the meaning of his words. Lord Vishwambar had said, within a day or two, an exalted personality will come here. By the arrangement of Providence, Lord Nityananda arrived in Navadvipa on that very day. Lord Vishwambar, after completing his worship of Vishnu, came and sat with the Vaishnavas. The Lord said to everyone, today I had a wonderful dream. I saw a beautiful chariot with a flag on top, and it came and it stopped by my door. Within the chariot was a remarkable personality. He carried a large pillar on one shoulder and appeared very restless. He had a stick tucked into his cloth and carried a pitcher in his left hand. He dressed in blue garments and had a blue chadar strewn across his chest. A wonderful earring hung on his left ear. By his features, I assumed he was none other than Haladhar Balaram. He then repeatedly asked, is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? So this was Lord Chaitanya's dream he was revealing. Lord Chaitanya then continued speaking to the Vaishnavas. I have never seen such a noble and powerful personality. He was effulgent and dressed as an avaduta or some kind of mendicant. I was severely stunned by seeing him. I asked him, who are you? He smiled and replied, I am your brother. We will meet and know each other tomorrow. Hearing his words, my happiness increased. I consider myself as similar to that personality. Speaking like this, Lord Chaitanya fell into an ecstatic trance and began to roar loudly in the mood of Haladhar Balaram. Bring me Varuni! Bring me Varuni! His loud voice almost shattered the ears of everyone present. Then Srivas Pandit said, please listen, O Goshai. The Varuni you're asking for is right here in front of you. And he gave him a pot of water. So in this way, he goes on like that. Just jump ahead here. So the Lord sends the devotees out. You go, his personality's here, go and find him. So they all go out to Srivas, Haridas Thakur. They all go out all over Navadvipa searching for Lord Nityananda. You know, they thought maybe Lord Sankarshan himself had come, you know. And so they're happily walking through the streets of Navadvip. And have you heard anything? Have you seen, is anybody new come? Have you met, you know? Nobody knows anything, you know. For 9 hours, they traverse the streets of Navadvip, looking in every doorway, asking, bro, have you seen it? No, you haven't, Alba? You know, nobody's seen them like this. So they came back to Lord Chaitanya. They reported, we didn't see any strangers in Navadvip. Nobody that, you know, was unknown. We looked in the house of the sannyasis and the Vaishnavas, even the Gyanis and atheists. We went into the entire city of Navadvip. We didn't go into the average villages, though. So maybe you want us to do that? Hearing them, Lord Gaurasundar began to smile. By the pretext of ordering a search, he showed that Lord Nityananda is the most confidential of his servants. Some people glorify Lord Gaurachandra, but as soon as they hear the name of Nityananda, they get up and leave. These were the associates of Krishnadas, the family members of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. For that offense, they will surely go to the abode of Yamaraj. Similarly, this incarnation of Lord Nityananda is most confidential. Without the inspiration of Lord Chaitanya, no one can see him. If anyone criticizes Lord Nityananda's unfathomable qualities, though he possesses devotion to Lord Krishna, such devotion will be checked. So we see the two brothers are equal with each other. Lord Chaitanya is bringing everyone to Lord Nityananda, but what is Lord Nityananda doing? Bringing everyone to Lord Chaitanya. What's Lord Chaitanya doing? Wants everyone to come up. So in this way, they're constantly engaged in this mood of serving one another. What better example for us? Constantly engaged in a mood of service to each other. The devotees headed by Srivas were fully conversant with the service of science of Lord Nityananda. But for some fun, they could not find him. After a while, Lord Chaitanya said with a smile, "All right, come with me. Let's go. I will show you where he is." All glories to Lord Sri Krishna. Let's go. So on the way, Lord Chaitanya called out, "Murari, Murari, have you seen Advaita Nityananda? Have you seen Avadhuta Nityananda?" So in this way, he began to smile and he arrived at Nandanacharya's house. So the rest of the chapter goes into a very just incredible description of the meeting of the two. Shall I do this or go on to other parts? And we have so much to cover. We're almost done. Let's do this. Aware that Lord Nityananda was in a deep trance of pure devotion, Lord Vishambhar and his associates offered obeisances. Everyone stood outside the house with awe and reverence. No one said a word. They simply stared at Lord Nityananda. Then Mahaprabhu Vishambhar came before Nityananda, who at once understood his beloved and worshipable Lord was present. The form of Vishambhar was as beautiful as that of Cupid. He wore an attractive dress and a flower garland. Sandalwood paste was smeared on his forehead. The luster of gold appeared more insignificant before the body of the Lord. Even the moon god hankers to see his enchanting face. Lord Nityananda, out of joy, was stunned. He stared at Lord Vishambhar without blinking his eyes. He desired to completely spend his time engaged in looking at Lord Vishambhar. Nityananda was stunned beyond recognition. Everyone was so astonished they also could not speak or move. Lord Gauranga, the life and soul of everyone, beheld the situation and began to invent ways to reveal Lord Nityananda. So Lord Chaitanya recites this wonderful verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. And upon hearing this verse, Lord Nityananda swoons into an ecstatic trance and all the devotees can greatly appreciate him. And then the description goes on about how they spent time with each other and discussed different pastimes. And in this way, Lord Nityananda was now ushered into the Navadvip Lila of Lord Gauranga. Now, during this time, as things progressed, Lord Chaitanya would send the devotees out for a Sankirtan. And this is Lord Nityananda's mood. One of the particular parties that would go out was Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda. And as they would come back at night, Lord Chaitanya would say, "So, what is the report? How did it go today?" Well, one day they had gone out and they came across the two personalities of Jagai and Madhai. From a very Brahminically qualified background, but completely un-Brahminically qualified. Actually, it mentions that if Chandragupta, the scribe of Yamaraj, and all of his attending scribes were to spend 10,000 years, they could not exhaust the limit of the sinful activities of Jagai and Madhai. So, Nityananda and Haridas are there. Nityananda says, "Hey, I hear there's these two guys, Jagai and Madhai. You know, let's go give him Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Hide us a little. All right, we'll go. So they go and they see them in the street, and of course we know from the descriptions that we've all heard and read that Jikai and Mudhai are in a drunken stupor and causing great trouble and, you know, just a general chaos like two drunks in the street would, you know. And of course these two drunks happen to own the street. So they're acting in such a way that is even beyond what we can perceive. And so Lord Nityananda goes to them and approaches them. He's also completely drunk, as these verses we've been reading describe, completely drunk in the ecstasy of love of God, completely just drowning the ocean of the holy name, walking like a maddened elephant, his eyes red, and chanting the holy name like this. So he approaches Jagan Madhai and encourages them, take up the holy name. Well, we know the story. They become, you know, offended by him and chase him and yell at him and scream at him, and Haridas and Inanda run away. So they get back that evening, as I mentioned, and Lord Chaitanya wants to know what's going on, and Inanda tells him, he says, you know, what are you doing? You're sending me out here with these two drunks. He said, you've got Jagai and Madhai free, and Inanda is drunk on love of Godhead, and Jagai and Madhai are drunk on wine. I'm the only sober person in the crowd acting with any intelligence. And Inanda is wandering in them, trying to give them love of God, and they're chasing us, and you know, Lord Chaitanya simply laughed and said, oh, this is their activities. So, of course, we know ultimately that they went back the next day and Lord Nityananda extended his unlimited mercy to Jagai and Madhai, and they responded in striking him. And then, you know, Lord Nityananda still, as the song says, he embraced them with his arms, my dear brothers. So in this way, Jagai and Madhai also became delivered, thus setting the stage for all of the Jagai and Madhai personalities of Kali Yuga to be delivered by Lord Nityananda. Later pastimes, we find that Lord Nityananda was always there with Shivananda Sen when all the devotees would travel to Jagannath Puri for the annual Rath Yatra festival. And this went on for some number of years. Of course, we know that famous story when Shivananda Sen had somehow or another not made proper arrangements, and Inanda became very angry with him. And we'll talk about the lotus feet of Nitai in a bit. But, so Lord Chaitanya, at one of these festivals, called Lord Nityananda to the side, and he spoke something confidential to him. And what he basically told him was that, I don't want you to come to Puri every year. He said, I have now made Jagannath Puri my headquarters, and if you are leaving Bengal and staying here, because the devotees would stay 4 or 5 months of the year, said, then who will carry on my preaching? This is an important analogy, because Lord Chaitanya is encouraging and conscientious of who's carrying on the preaching if I'm not there. And we should take this to heart, that in our particular Prabhudatta Desh, that who's carrying on the preaching? Are we carrying it on for Lord Chaitanya? So he encouraged Inanda like this, that you stay in Bengal. Matter of fact, not only stay in Bengal, but you get married. Now at this point, Inanda's been living as an avaduta since he was 12 years old. And, you know, he's older now, but Lord Chaitanya encouraged him like this. So anyway, he agreed. He stayed in Bengal after this, and married the two sisters, Janava and Vasudha. And the marriage, I mean, you know, we could sit here for the next 3 hours and discuss the marriage arrangements, the marriage itself, the activities of the two, how he took the two wives and went to see Sachimata, and they received his blessing, or her blessing, Sachimata's blessings, and she was so happy. And, you know, it was just because she never saw her own son Nimai get married, but Nitai, she got to see him. And of course, I mean, geez, I've left out so much, but I wanted to... Anyway, we'll do this. I wanted to finish with kind of start winding down with this one song of Narottam Das Thakur's. It was one of Srila Prabhupada's favorites, Nittai Parakamala. And I'm just going to read the translations to this. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are as cool as millions of moons. The whole universe gets peace by the shade of those lotus feet. Without the mercy of Sri Nityananda, no one can get Radha and Krishna, the aim of human life. Therefore, catch hold of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu very tightly. One who has not established a relationship with Lord Nityananda is a two-legged animal, a great beast. His whole life is finished. He cannot be called a human being. He never utters the name of Sri Nityananda. He is always immersed in enjoying material happiness and has forgotten Sri Nitai. He may have acquired all material scholarship, learning, but what is the value of such education? It will never help him. Being so puffed up with their mundane education and scholarship, they have forgotten Nittai. They are never humble at all. They have forgotten the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda because of their false ego and pride. They are completely under the clutches of Maya. They accept the untruth as truth. If Sri Nityananda showers his mercy upon someone, he will get Radha and Krishna in Brajabhumi. So catch hold of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda very tightly. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are eternally true, and those followers or servants of those lotus feet of Nityananda are also eternal. Always aspire for the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, I am very distressed and a very unhappy person. I am drowning in this dreadful ocean of material existence. Oh, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, please make me very happy. Please keep me at your lotus feet. Now, trying to remember these lotus feet, I thought it might be nice. There's specific symbols on the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, and they have a particular purpose in our process of devotional service. For instance, on the bottom of his feet is the conch shell. And the conch shell is an auspicious sign that indicates those who take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are rescued from all sorts of afflictions, thus bringing auspiciousness. There's a flag, and this sign proclaims that the devotees that meditate on Lord Nityananda's feet are able to carry the flag of victory and security and are safe from the protection of all fears. On his feet is also the symbol of a fish, matsya. And this sign indicates that just as a fish cannot live outside of water, similarly, the surrendered devotee cannot live a moment without the association and shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. The lotus flower. This sign represents the increase of greed for the nectar in the minds of the bee-like devotees who meditate on Nittai's feet. The lotus also signifies that just as a lotus grows out of water, similarly those whose eyes swell with tears upon holding the divine lotus feet of Lord Nityananda in their heart receive the highest benefit. The bow. This mark reveals that those who take shelter of Lord Nityananda's lotus feet will be perpetually freed from all anxieties and difficulties. The god. This sign indicates the meditation on Lord Nityananda's feet brings the elephant of the devotee's mind under control and keeps them on the right path. There's an altar. This sign proclaims that the sins of those who meditate upon the lotus feet are burned up on the fire of the altar of sacrifice. A half moon. This symbol shows how this lotus feet truly provide the desired objectives of a devotee. It signifies that even the lords like Lord Shiva, to who carries the half moon on his head, have decorated their heads with the soles of the lotus feet. There's a pitcher. This symbol shows that Lord Nityananda's feet hold the golden pitcher full of pure nectarian ambrosia to be freely consumed by those who surrender to his lotus feet. The umbrella. This sign indicates that those who take shelter of Nittai's feet are shielded from the incessant rainfall of material miseries. The hoof print of a cow. This mark signifies that for those who have taken shelter of the uninterrupted meditation on Lord Nityananda's lotus feet, the great ocean of worldly existence becomes very minute and insignificant, like the water held in the hoof print of a cow. The thunderbolt. This mark reveals that meditating on Nittai's feet smashes to pieces the mountain of a devotee's karmic reaction to their past sins. A rose apple, a jambu. This sign is an indicator that his feet are the only object to be worshipped by all the residents of Jambudweep. The club. This symbol is to demonstrate that Nittai's feet are capable of chastising the elephant of sinful lust. The spear. This sign assures those who wish to have the miserable bonds of mundane world released will have it cut by this spear. The flower. This symbol refers to the divine fame of his feet, which spreads everywhere, just like the fragrance of a flower spreads. And two more. The creeper. This sign symbolizes how intelligent persons hold on to the lotus feet of the Lord, just as a creeper firmly grasps what it is climbing up. And the plow. Balaram is Lord Nityananda. By taking shelter of Lord Nityananda, he will use the plow to cultivate the field of our heart with the seed of Krishna Prema. So, very, very nice description of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, which can encourage us to take it. Actually, sometimes devotees say, well, that's all nice, but, you know, other Shastras, Srimad Bhagavatam, all these aren't indicating this. If you go to the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, very deep, you know, scientific creation, all this, in the general index, there's a note there under the title Nityananda in the index, and Prabhupada puts, how does he say, Nityananda? One becomes puffed up by forgetting the lotus feet. And then you go to the verse, and it's a verse about all the details of this and that and how people become enamored with material life and all, and Prabhupada mentions in the purport that this is symptomatic of one forgetting the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. They become puffed up with their material condition. So we're going to conclude with these words of Vrindavan Das Thakur. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas, that they may overlook my offenses. Anyone who wants to cross beyond the ocean of material existence and merge into the ocean of devotional service must worship the lotus feet of Nityananda Chandra. Sri Gaurasundara is the Lord of my dear Lord Nitai. I always keep this firm conviction in my heart. Someone says Lord Nityananda is Lord Balaram, and someone says he is the dearmost associate of Lord Chaitanya. Some say he is the most influential personality, yet others are unable to know who he is. Whether Nityananda is a renunciate or a learned devotee, let them say whatever they want. Let Lord Nityananda be anyone to Lord Chaitanya. Still, I keep his lotus feet within my heart. All glories to Lord Nityananda, the life and soul of Sri Chaitanya. Please allow me to take shelter of your lotus feet. O Lord, let me sing the glories of Lord Gaurasundara, following in your footsteps. Let me also remain your eternal servant, birth after birth. My only wish, our only wish, is to have your darshan. Anyone who reads or hears Lord Nityananda's pastimes will receive the treasure of Krishna Prema. They say that your devotees are fully dependent upon you, yet you are the supreme independent Lord. There is no end to the Lord's pastimes. The Vedas describe them simply as manifest and unmanifest. Accepting Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu as my life, I, Vrindavan Das Thakur, sing the glories of their lotus feet. Sri Nityananda Ram Ki Jai. So we'll finish there and thank all the devotees for their patience. And just remind everyone that this is just 9:30 in the morning. We still have 18 hours or so of this day to hear and chant about the unlimited pastimes of Lord Nityananda. There are so many stories and discussions and we can absorb ourselves in. So we should all take full advantage of this. Hare Krishna.